horizon with adapted coordinates so that it sits at r equals 0, and the space-time is divided into a radial coordinate and tangential ones. Most of what I'll be saying works in any dimension. In case I do throw numbers, I take space-time to be five-dimensional and the hypersurfaces to be four-dimensional, because that's what happens in ADS-CFT and for four-dimensional fluids. And now we are told that the entropy of this horizon is described by its area, and that it tends to always increase. Now, we want to understand this better, and one way to understand things better is to try and extend their applicability. So I'll talk about two ways to extend this thing. One of them is to upgrade the global entropy into a local current, that is vector density, that lives inside the horizon, which locally should have a positive divergence. The other way to extend it is to consider more general gravitational actions with the higher curvature Lagrangians. And then what we know is that the entropy formula should be modified. It's no longer the area, but we have Wald's formula, which gives it as a codimension 2 integral of some different local density. Now, what I'd like to do is to combine them together and to write a local positive divergence entropy current, which works for higher curvature theories. Now, I'll start by explaining each of the two sides. First of all, it's a very nifty fact that regardless of anything, the area of a horizon can always be upgraded into a current. Any null hypersurface has an area current attached to it. This works like so. We take the volume density for the entire spacetime, dualize, then pull back four of them into the hypersurface and contract with the Levi-Civita inside. And this gives a covector creature. And now two different things can happen depending on whether the hypersurface is regular or null. If it is regular, then when we raise this guy's index with the metric, we get a vector normal to the hypersurface which goes outside, and we can decompose it into the unit normal times the intrinsic volume density. This we know. Now, if it's null, then what happens instead is that we get a vector density which sits inside the hypersurface, because the normal is also tangent. And there is no unit normal that we can pull out. So we don't get a volume density. We're stuck with this. This is an area current in the sense that if it's integrated against an area, against the surface, it gives its area. And its direction is along the normal to the horizon, which in itself doesn't have a natural normalization, this guy does. While we're at it, I'll need to use surface gravities. So I'll mention that once we choose some normalization for the normal vector, then we can define a creature called the surface gravity on the horizon. And in the Bekenstein-Hawking dictionary, this corresponds to the temperature of the black hole. Now, this guy is defined always. The question is, does it have a positive divergence? Does it always behave as an entropy current? And the answer is generally no. The equation which controls its divergence is the twice projected piece of the Einstein equations. And when decomposed, it contains a bunch of pieces. One of these is the divergence of S, which we want. The other is the square of the horizon's shear tensor, which is positive. So that's good. But then there is also a second derivative term, which sends this out of control. So generally, locally, we don't have positive divergence. If we take seriously the correspondence between gravity and lower dimensional non-gravitational systems, this is not a huge surprise, because in ordinary systems also, an entropy current is a creature that doesn't always exist. It does exist if we're talking about hydrodynamics. That is, when we have local equilibrium in each separate region and very slow gradients between regions, then entropies get properly upgraded into an entropy current, which satisfies a local second law of hydrodynamics. So to implement this on the gravity side, we should start talking about black hole hydrodynamics. For hydrodynamics to work, there needs to be a separation of scales between the scale of the temperature and the microdynamics and the much larger scale of the hydrodynamic gradients. So if we want to do that with the horizon, we need it to be very large and very flat compared to the full space-time curvature. So this kind of creature is very easy to construct in ADS, but can be thought of more generally. For instance, we can have just a Rindler horizon in Minkowski. And to write an ansatz for such a thing, we need a four-velocity unit vector living in a flat metric, which we can decompose into a transverse part and the longitudinal part. And then the metric around the horizon will look like this. So I like Eddington-Finkelstein type coordinates, where the radial one is null. And this is the general type of creature. The field equations constrain the functions of R. I don't care too much about that. The horizon is the value of R, which we can take to be zero for convenience, where K vanishes. And then G mu becomes degenerate. on the horizon, F then corresponds to the area density. So that would give the entropy by taking the determinant of this thing. And the derivative of k, k itself vanishes, will correspond to the surface gravity, that is the temperature. Now we can write, in this case, a canonically normalized normal to the horizon hypersurface. We can choose 0 u, then the lower one is 1 0. And in this framework, we can calculate everything, the curvatures, etc. I will just list two quantities which will be important. So we want to know the covariant derivative of the normal on the horizon, and in this case, only the surface gravity gives a non-vanishing component. So the only non-vanishing components of this are these two, and they go as the surface gravity times u. Now, it's anti-symmetric because L is a Killing vector. So far, I promised you hydrodynamics, but I'm only doing thermodynamics. This ansatz is in the thermal equilibrium. Nothing depends on the x mu coordinates. L is a Killing vector. We know everything. Now, the next step would be to turn the equilibrium into local. So all the parameters which define the ansatz, the entropy, temperature, and if there is anything else, so be it, we turn into very slowly varying functions of the tangential coordinates. In this case, this guy ceases to be an exact solution. It's now only an approximate solution, so we have to add corrections. And the corrections can be sorted by the number of tangential derivatives in them. So everything we said so far is called zeroth order. And the first correction will contain one power of derivatives, and so on. And now we can start asking what happens to the entropy current. And the answer is that if we take the lowest order, just the zeroth order ansatz written there, then the only guy surviving from the Einstein equation is this. And it says that the entropy is conserved. This statement corresponds to ideal hydrodynamics, where there is no transport between the fluid elements. Nothing happens. So to have something interesting, to see entropy increase, we need to go to the next order. And in the next order, we get what we want, because this survives. The positive square survives. This falls. So if we have an expansion in small derivatives, then the Bekenstein entropy can be extended into a local current with positive divergence. Now, this framework actually does a lot more. It not only defines an entropy current, it brings with it the whole shebang of relativistic hydrodynamics with the viscosity, conductivity, everything. This won't interest me too much now. Maybe we'll get to something in the end. And now let's talk about the other side. So back to thermal equilibrium. How do I define normally world entropy? Yeah, but I'm afraid of that. I think I'll erase at some point, but it's not yet.
Before you continue.
Yeah.
Because first you said that this S mu does not have positive divergence, and now you're saying it suddenly has positive divergence.
So yeah, it has a positive divergence for special states, which are nearly homogeneous in the tangential coordinates for very large horizons. You can relate them in an extension of black hole thermodynamics to hydrodynamic states. And then when you have an expansion in small derivatives, you can forget about the piece in the field equation which gives you the arbitrary sign, and always say that the leading terms do make it positive.
So why can you forget about this one?
Because it has more derivatives in it. So at the lowest order, so this guy has a derivative squared. This has just one. So the lowest order equation says that this vanishes. If we collect just the first derivative terms, this vanishes. Now, if we add the second derivative terms, then this one joins in, but this one doesn't yet. So it's positive.
And if you somehow extend these to the AdS boundary, this would be the standard kind of density quantity?
Yes. With the difference that on the AdS boundary, you don't see it at all easily. There you see easily the stress tensor and the currents, and the entropy current you derive from however it is the equations look, and then you look for the thing with the positive divergence. Here, it's just the area
cheating.
Current.
No, this is cheating, right? Because what you are doing here, you're trying to kind of give kind of quote first principle definition of the entropy current from a black hole thermodynamics or hydrodynamics.
Right.
So in order to do it honestly, you need to say how to translate this quantity as mu into the AdS boundary so that you can really interpret this as entropy current in hydrodynamics without kind of artificially constructing it from T mu and so on. Because there is really no good reason why the entropy current should be constructed the way it is usually constructed. Right?
Well, you could try and define the entropy current more honestly directly from the QFT on the boundary. I guess you can define the entropy itself from the partition function and then play from there.
Concept.
But
it's an equilibrium concept. The entropy current is a non-equilibrium concept.
Right.
So
yeah. So you can go and try to do that. That's more or less orthogonal to what I'm doing. I don't think it delegitimizes me.
No, it doesn't. I'm just wondering if you know how to translate this S mu to the AdS boundary.
No, not in any direct way. Not unless I actually know what's happening in the entire bulk and then I just move it along the radial coordinate, but that, of course, doesn't count.
Yeah. Are you saying at higher order the sign will become indefinite?
Yeah, then it will depend on initial conditions. There is, but the leading order is already positive. So then if you have additions with the ambiguous sign, it doesn't hurt you very much.
The funny thing is that, I mean, if you go back, not to this particular limit, but if you just go back to an ordinary black hole horizon, the reason why the area increases involves some sort of choice of boundary condition at P future time, that the horizon should be stable, basically, or if you like, it's cosmic censorship. That doesn't seem to be playing a role here. Is it just sort of automatically built in at the order to which you're working, or?
Yes, it's automatically built in.
So cosmic, so in some sense, cosmic censorship is built into this order?
Well, I don't care much for singularities. I'm just looking at the horizon and what it does. So yeah, you can say that I'm assuming that it exists.
But normally you have to assume that it exists off into the infinite future in order to derive the positivity of the divergence of the this Killing vector, or the spectrum. To derive the fact that the area elements necessarily increase, you have to assume something about the infinite future. You can find
I realized what you're talking about. This dependence on the future behavior sits precisely here in the piece that I neglected. So yes, it's an artifact of the order to which I'm working. All right. Now, world entropy in equilibrium. Start with the Lagrangian, which depends on the Riemann however it wants. I don't want it to depend on derivatives of the Riemann to keep things simple. Define its variation with respect to the Riemann. And then the statement is that we should, this guy is densitized, has density weight 1. And the statement is that we should take an antisymmetric rank 2 density defined as 2 pi over surface gravity with a piece like this and a piece like that, where L is unambiguously globally defined as the Killing vector, as we're in a stationary state, so it exists. And the surface gravity is taken with respect to that. So once this guy is defined, so the entropy is just given by integrating it over a spatial slice of the horizon. OK. So now the question, can we generalize this definition into something like an entropy current? So basically, what I want to do, I'm starting here with a quantity with two indices. I'm ending with a scalar. And I want to stick in the middle a quantity with one index. So the simplest thing I can think of doing is to take the flux through the horizon with one index. This is a well-defined geometric operation. So we start from a density in the higher dimension, take its flux, it gives a density in the lower dimension. So that means setting one of the indices to R, then from the antisymmetry, the other one must be tangential. And let's just try defining this as an entropy current. And try to see whether it makes sense. Now, how can it not make sense? There are two dangers. First of all, because the ultimate question is, does it give something with a positive divergence with the local second law? But before that, we have to ask ourselves, is it well defined? Because here, the normal appears in the definition. I'm now interested in non-stationary states with entropy production. So there is no killing vector. And now I have to worry about the definition of L. So I have to worry twice. On the horizon, I now need to somehow normalize it at each point separately. It no longer has a canonical normalization. And off the horizon, it can be anything it wants at all. So can I swallow that? And it turns out that at least in a limited sense, I can. Now, to show this, I'll rewrite the thing a little. Just picking out the relevant components. Now, here, the only relevant components are mu, because the pullback of the antisymmetric derivative vanishes from the Frobenius theorem, and we have the antisymmetrization here from the two Riemann indices. So all we have here is R mu R nu. Like so. And the second piece, what L does is pick out, again, the R component. So we're left with and again, from the antisymmetry, this index has to be tangential. All right. So the only relevant components of P are of the R nu type. And now back to the question. Can we swallow the ambiguities in the definition of L? Now, let's start out by being modest. Now, suppose I want to define the entropy current just to zeroth order, or just for the equilibrium solution, then there's no problem at all. Everything is well defined. And because at zeroth order, the velocity is the only vector available, I will get that zeroth order, my entropy current must always be along the velocity, which means that I've done nothing new. This will be just the walled entropy. I'm just giving it a direction along the generators of the horizon. So this corresponds to the statement that the lowest order of hydrodynamics, ideal hydrodynamics, adds no new information to what we already had in thermodynamics. So then the first interesting question is, can I properly define the current to first order? Oh. What can get in my way is the first order ambiguities in L. So if I want to look at S1, I should look at what happens if I take the first order of these pieces. So the surface gravity can get a correction. Then these must be already zeroth order. And ask, can it contribute? So if it can, I have an ambiguity in my definition, and it doesn't work. So let's do it bit by bit. So what seems like the scariest issue is that I need to somehow define now the normal vector outside the horizon. And this sits here in the radial derivative. So can I somehow cleverly fix that? Turns out that I can. What did the job for me in equilibrium was the Killing vector condition. I can no longer demand that. But I do have enough freedom in choosing L to demand a projected version of this. And then Nabla RL nu is determined by Nabla nu LR. They're equal and opposite. So I really need to be left with one of them. OK. Now, in general, I seem to be stuck. I need to start asking myself, what can possibly be the shape of a variation of the Lagrangian at zeroth order? Now, it can't be too many things, because there are only two independent zeroth order tensors. So it can be coefficient times LL and coefficient times the transverse projector, and that's it. Now, suppose that by some miracle, only this guy exists and this one vanishes. First of all, this is what happens in the case of pure Einstein gravity. For pure Einstein gravity, we have that the variation of the Ricci scalar with respect to the Riemann is just the square root of gg minus the other combination. And when you plug in the indices and the insert the ansatz, this is just LL. So suppose that the higher curvature theory behaves in the same way and contains only this piece. Now, I claim that if this is the case, then I'm done. And all the ambiguity drops out. Why is that? So first step, looking at the second term. So if here all we have is a factor of L, then this times the derivative gives the surface gravity, which cancels with the one in the denominator. So I don't care about any corrections which it might receive. The result is unambiguous. And the second miracle is that if I take this ansatz for p and I start calculating its covariant derivative using explicitly everything I know at zeroth order, I know the Christoffels and all the rest, then you can find that it vanishes identically. So the conclusion is that if the derivative of the Lagrangian with respect to the Riemann is for some reason always along LL, then we have an unambiguous entropy current with first order corrections that we can play with. Now, does this happen? Generally, I don't know yet. But if we take all possible curvature squared Lagrangians, that is, if we take Riemann squared, Ricci squared, the Ricci scalar squared, and we just plug in, calculate the derivative, use the zeroth order ansatz to find the Riemanns, substitute, then it turns out that this is always true. I won't be terribly surprised if it turns out to be true also for a general polynomial of the Riemann, but that would take some proving. Now, I'd like to go on to the difficult question. So suppose we are able to define the thing. Does it have a positive divergence? And to answer that, I want to look at a case which is even simpler than curvature squared theory. And as always, to get a simpler case, you need to add stuff. So this thermal black hole ansatz can be extended into a charged black hole by adding a gauge field, which at zeroth order will be of this form. And then we can stick into the Lagrangian a Chern-Simons term along with the usual Einstein-Hilbert and the Maxwell piece for the gauge field. We can put ARRR. Okay. Why is this simpler than just Riemann squared? Because axial quantities tend to not interfere with what the non-axial ones are doing. So this bulk theory has the nice property that if you look at its equilibrium solutions, at its black holes, then they are exactly the same as for pure Einstein gravity plus Maxwell. And only when you start perturbing them into non-stationary solutions, and this guy kicks in. So first we can ask, does it satisfy my condition to make the entropy current well defined? And it oversatisfies it. For this theory, we get that P vanishes altogether at zeroth order, and the only contribution comes from its first order piece. And if we go and find it, turns out that there is an addition to the entropy current of the form the A from here, K prime from here. Alternatively, if we translate with the dictionary, this is the chemical potential times the temperature times the vorticity vector of the velocity. Which is this guy.
Yeah, much simpler question. The chemical potential, it's not surprising to see the chemical potential appearing in the entropy current. You should expect that even when there's no axial anomaly. But the how do I see the chemical potential entering into your entropy current, even for a parity invariant theory?
Usually, when you write the entropy current in the hydrodynamics people's work, you are using some kind of frame for the velocity. At zeroth order, there's only one velocity, nothing to talk about. At first order, you should define your variables and say what's the velocity that you're starting with. Most people are starting with the energy velocity. And then the entropy current will be SU plus some additions which correspond to the difference between the energy velocity and the entropy velocity. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm not talking about energy, about the stress tensor at all. That in ADS-CFT, that's defined simply at the boundary, but not at the horizon. And I'm taking as the basic velocity variable, effectively, the horizon normal. And then, as long as we don't have higher curvature terms, there are no corrections to the entropy current by definition. Because I took the velocity variable to be along the area current, and that's it. Now, here we do get a correction because the entropy current is no longer the area current.
Okay. But the just a much more basic question: is it clear that, going back to Pavel's question earlier, that when you map this to bound in terms of boundary data, that you'll see open up Landau emissions? See the canonical form of the entropy current with the U1 charge.
Yeah.
You will get that from this purely geometric definition of the entropy current.
To compare this with the geometric definition, you need to somehow get access to the energy velocity in the geometric definition. And there are two ways to do that. Either you have also the boundary information and then you pull it from the stress tensor at the boundary as its eigenvector. Or you cheat, which I like to do, and you simply write down the field equations on the horizon and ask the divergence of what are they. Then you call that the stress tensor. You call its eigenvector the energy velocity. And then you compare, and then yes, it works. Okay. So in this Trent-Simons-ish case, we have an addition to the entropy current. It doesn't change its size, which corresponds to the fact that the world entropy for equilibrium is unchanged. Does change its direction, and now does it have a positive divergence? So to find out, we must take again the projection of the field equations and calculate, and that we did. And the answer is positive. So what happens is that the extra term in the entropy current is canceled with the extra term in the field equations. And we get precisely the same divergence as we did before. So the square of the shear tensor, which means entropy production from viscosity, and also some other bit due to the charge for entropy production in conductivity, and this is positive, right? So here, this is a minor success. What I can claim so far is that in a well-defined category of Lagrangians to which the simplest ones turn out to belong, I can define a local world entropy current unambiguously. At the very simplest case that we tried so far, it has a positive divergence. So here, the next obvious question is to try it with a Gauss-Bonnet term to the Lagrangian. And now, how much time do I have, if at all?
You have about 10 minutes.
OK. So if there isn't a pressing question, I'll use the 10 minutes to tell you a little about how I came into this story. Yeah.
Yeah. Just can you repeat this last result about the positivity, the divergence? So that's in what? Is that in pure Einstein gravity plus this?
Plus this.
That's, yeah.
That's it.
That's
it. OK. So how did I come to this? I wasn't going to give this lecture at all 2 weeks ago. I was going to give a completely different one. Thinking about the hydrodynamic effects of chiral anomalies. And here, in the last few years, there have been a bunch of cute results. People have very belatedly discovered that axial conductivity terms in charged hydrodynamics are allowed. So in the first order hydrodynamic charge current, there is, say, the usual conductivity term, the gradient of the chemical potential. And it turns out that we can also have axial terms proportional to the vorticity. So first, people, Amos Yaron's group, through ADS-CFT, of all things, discovered that there can be a term of this kind with the chemical potential squared times the vorticity. It was later realized that this coefficient must equal the coefficient of the triangle chiral anomaly of three currents. And in the gravitational picture, this corresponds to a Chern-Simons piece in the Lagrangian. Okay, and then we found out that as far as the constraints from the second law of thermodynamics are concerned, there can be a second piece allowed here, which instead goes as temperature squared. And we had no idea what that might mean. Karl Landsteiner's group realized that this coefficient would probably be the coefficient of a gravitational anomaly of one current and two stress tensors. And they demonstrated this directly with the QFT correlators in the free field limit. And they did it with ADS-CFT correlators in the strongly coupled holographic case, which was done using this kind of Chern-Simons term in the bulk action to give JTT anomaly. So while trying to figure out the dynamics of this theory from the point of view of the horizon, while Landsteiner and friends did it from the point of view of the boundary, we suddenly found that it looks like there is an entropy current which is not along the horizon normals. Then, aha, it's because there is a curvature squared term, so Bekenstein entropy is no longer correct, which led to the current story, which I really hope to develop further. It looks fairly cool. Okay, thank you.